Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. And Jesus says regarding the end of time, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen." Your fellow redeemed, "This is not where I expected to die." That was the comments given to a news reporter just the other day following the shooting in the concert hall in Paris. "This is not where I expected to die." She was one of the few young people who escaped that tragic, horrific event and made it out. 89 others were not so lucky. Who would have thought that attending a concert for, of all bands, Eagles of Death Metal would end up in such tremendous tragedy? The newspaper is filled every day with people whose lives were cut short, sometimes even in their 20s or younger. People who were called out of this life at a time that they just did not expect. And the suddenness of that often startles us. And it can strike at sometimes in the most mundane places. Just think of that weekend in Paris. A cafe, a soccer game, a concert. When and where do you expect you will finally leave this life? In your mind, what is your exit strategy? What or where and when is what your expectation is for when you will leave this life? Our Lord Jesus is addressing that subject as well as his return. And really, you could say that it deals with both leaving this life, whether it is by our death or should our Lord return before that happens. For myself, I'll have to say this is probably the most pertinent parable for my own personal spiritual life, and one that often causes me to do some real soul searching. The early church, the early members in the Christian church, felt that this was such a significant parable of our Lord's that they made sure to include it as the gospel reading for the last Sunday in the church year, every year. Jesus masterfully uses just typical things from his day and age as far as how they went about preparing for a wedding, with people waiting for the groom to come to the bride's house. And he uses this as imagery of himself in order to teach us this tremendous spiritual lesson. Well, let's first of all understand some things about the 5 foolish virgins that we find here in our text. These are not rank unbelievers. These are not rank heathen who don't care at all about Christ and the things of his kingdom. No, instead, they at one time were properly waiting for the bridegroom. They were properly ready and waiting for him to come. They had faith. They were members of the Christian church. They are still even now in physical proximity with the rest of the virgins, the other bridesmaids that are waiting for him to return. They're in the company of the faithful, if you will. And they clearly understand the significance of the oil. They understand when they wake up and realize they've run out that they've got to have more. They even know where to go and buy it. They even know where to go and find more of this oil of faith They know where the church is. They know where the means of grace are. They know how to go back and find the oil. And they even know where the wedding hall is. They know to go to the door and to ask for the Lord. They know to knock on the door and to expect to be let in. So let's not categorize them as heathen pagans. These are people who are inside of the pale of the visible church. And this is the lesson that strikes at my heart. These are people who have been blessed with the outer trappings of knowing Christ. They have been blessed with the outer trappings of being in the presence of the church of believers. But they now have let the most crucial, absolutely most important thing of the faith slip away. Isaiah once said about individuals like this that God looks down from heaven on them and says, "These people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Dr. C.F.W. Walther calls them Christians by habit. And that phrase gets me. Christians by habit. Their Christianity is easily turned into a ritual. It's easily turned into just outward appearance. It's easily turned into just doing some words, being in the right place, saying the right things, but then letting my repentance be insincere in my heart and letting my faith ultimately dry up. And on that day, notice the frantic rush that we see to go and possess more of this oil, to go and get this saving faith once again. When the warning cry goes out, all of a sudden, it's too late. When the stores finally close their doors, the Holy Christian Church, in that sense, is no longer open and available to dispense God's wonderful saving grace. And the lesson here again is not just for the end times, but also for whatever that day will be when God takes us from this life. Following the riots last April in Baltimore, following those riots, there were some shop owners that just decided, we've had enough. This isn't worth it. We're going to shut down our doors. We have been treated so badly. We have been so despised by the people in our neighborhood that we're just going to close our doors and go away. And the same can happen when it comes to the Word of God. And you can see it in nations and in cultures where the Word of God at one time was open and the store was open and advertising and bringing the message of Christ and salvation to people. But a couple generations go by and they just don't care anymore. There's a despising of the Word of God. The lesson here for us is this: don't trifle with God's grace. Don't mess around and toy with our time of grace. Don't mess around with God. Take this seriously. He will not be mocked. Many people today live under the delusion that they're going to have plenty of time to come back. But who of us knows the exact moment when our Lord will take us from this life? I have numerous challenges to my Christian faith, but there is probably not one more difficult for me than the problem of lethargy, just getting apathetic. Sometimes we see teenagers who just have an attitude about life like, whatever. And that's really what our Lord is addressing for us, the potential to fall into that spiritual attitude about Christ, whatever. So there's an urgency for us to go and replenish this oil. There's an urgency in that Christ is teaching us. He doesn't want us to miss how fantastic the banquet is that he's prepared for us by his work. He doesn't want you to miss out on that. He doesn't want this apathy and lethargy to be the very thing that dries up your faith. He wants you to be ready and prepared. And so that's the purpose of the parable. Let's note the characteristics that we see in these five wise virgins. They are well aware of this potential problem of lethargy. They've even taken steps to make sure they have plenty of additional oil if the wait is too long. Their hearts are pricked with concern about potentially missing the return of the bridegroom. They long for him. They're looking forward for what he brings them. They know how tremendous he is. They know what a blessing it is to be in his presence. And so it is for us who've been blessed to know that in Christ, to know that in Him our sins are forgiven. We have the righteousness that alone will let us come into heaven before God. We have the promise of everlasting life. They understand, these five wise virgins understand the great need that they have for the grace and the mercy of God. They understand how significant the cross is for them. And they treasure His gospel. They don't mess around with it. They don't toy with it. They don't put it on a shelf to get dusty and expect to go back to it. They keep it alive in their life, even today. And they have taken advantage of and continue to take advantage of their time at the store. They're buying and shopping all the time at the store. And what a beautiful expression we have in our text. These virgins who were ready went in with Him to the wedding banquet. May God grant each one of us here today proper preparedness so that we, through faith in this Savior, can finally get to see how fantastic that wedding celebration is in heaven. Amen. Please rise. Today we keep in our prayers the many victims and those who are still suffering from this horrible tragedy, and the family members who lost loved ones. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, following this tragedy in Paris, we come before You on behalf of the many victims who are still suffering, as well as those who have lost loved ones. Comfort them with Your word, which alone gives everlasting comfort and assurance in Christ. Grant wisdom and courage to those in authority throughout Europe and even here in our own country, that they may provide protection and security for their citizens in the face of this present evil. May these tragic events cause many to turn to You in true repentance and faith in the work of Your Son. Cause the light of His gospel to spread throughout the world, and especially in the Middle East, that the warm love and mercy of Christ may melt the stony hearts of unbelief so bent on serving the great deceiver. Keep all of us safe in Your care. Cause Your holy angels to guide and protect us each day. And we ask it all in the name of our Lord, who transcends all earthly authority. Amen. Please then join me in the collect or prayer on page 165, page 165, prayer number 136. This coming Sunday is the last Sunday of the church year. Lord God, Heavenly Father, make us watchful and heedful in awaiting the coming of Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and when He shall stand at the door and knock, He may find us not sleeping in carelessness and sin, but awake and rejoicing in His appearance. Through the same, Your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with You in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.